Hello everyone and welcome back to another Tanisha.com podcast. It's been a few weeks since I posted a podcast, since I made a podcast even. I don't really have any excuses for that. I'm just in lockdown and, you know, things are crazy. But today's blog post is entitled Part 2 for That Time I Was Hit by a Truck. So if you've spoken to me for even 2 seconds this year, I'm sure that I mentioned that I got hit by a truck in February. If by some miracle I didn't bring it up, I did write a post soon afterwards just telling the story of that day with little to no details about the aftermath. Obviously because it was fresh off the bat trauma and also like in case it was my fault, I didn't want to dob myself into the insurance companies. Well, it's been 6 months since then. I bought and broke a whole new car, I learnt how to drive manual, and I've even come around to keeping random items in said car, including at one point like 5 jackets. Just to give some context to the rest of that day, because the part one to this story ended off after the crash, but shortly afterwards, obviously the police and the ambulance rocked up. Everyone involved was told to swap details and they insisted that I go in the ambulance to the hospital to check that everything was fine internally, because like externally everything was fine, like there was nothing wrong with me and I was pretty sure there was nothing wrong with me. But the towing man helped me grab all the essential stuff from my car and I filled out some paperwork and the ambulance took me to the hospital. Luckily I was headed home for a few days, so I had an overnight bag packed, ready to grab. I don't like to carry a handbag and my phone tap to pay didn't work back then, so at that point I kept my FPOS card in the back of my phone case. I took my phone case off when I put the phone in the holder for the trip home, and long story short, I lost my FPOS card in the crash. It would have expired 10 days later, but my mum had it cancelled just in case. It takes time to get a new card processed, so for a week or so I lived off some cash, like a caveman. Regardless, the FPOS card was the last thing on my mind, but it did end up being in my overnight bag. By that point, obviously, it was pointless because it was cancelled already. Truthfully, at that point, like right after the crash, there wasn't really much on my mind at all. Like, it didn't feel real. I didn't even really cry that day or the following day. I teared up here and there, but it was mostly just like a blur of sorting things out and retelling the event to everyone who asked. And I went to sleep that night kind of expecting to wake up and find that it was just a really vivid, random dream. I've been prone in my time to fits of dissociation. So to some people, I guess dissociation is a mental health buzzword that gets thrown around on TikTok or whatever. But in my case, we are very familiar. It's this state that your mind goes into when something happens that you just can't really emotionally handle. It's survival mode, it's fight or flight, and it's very much flight. It's a safe mode, but when it wears off, and it always does, I have to feel everything that was blocked. So naturally, the few months following the incident were filled with jitters and upset stomachs and tears and brain scrambling anxiety about the most random shit. My dad's best friend lives in Sydney and she was pretty close to where I crashed, so she came to meet me at the hospital and took me back to her place afterwards. They did the basic checks on me while I was at the hospital, but I was like on a wheelie bed in the hallway because the hospital was just way overcrowded. It was in the middle of Sydney. I opted out of seeing a doctor because honestly, being in that crowded hospital in the middle of a pandemic in Sydney, waiting around only to be inevitably told that I'm fine, didn't sound too fun for me. I just really wanted to go home, to be honest. Meanwhile, Dad spent his day driving to Sydney. About a week later, I took the train after work to meet Dad and Dylan in Cronulla to pick up a new car. I've talked about it in a past post, but on this journey, my phone and my laptop went flat. So it was just me and my camera and a place I'd never been before for a few hours before Dad and Dylan arrived. The car is a manual, so I couldn't drive it back to Wollongong myself. Dad taught me the basics of how to drive it in a day. It was very stressful for me. Obviously, it's a lot of learning packed into one day, and I have issues concentrating. And when you have issues concentrating, and you pair that with anxiety about driving, it's a really, really rough time. But a few funny things did happen. We went up to the neighborhood where most of my family lives, and just drove in a loop on a road that I was familiar with, obviously. And while we're driving around, one of the neighbors stick their head out and they go, "What are you doing?" Because obviously I'm stalling the car here and there. I'm having issues taking off and I'm just doing a loop of the neighborhood over and over again. And Dad stuck his head out the window and he was like, "I'm teaching her to drive manual." Yeah, I went to drive up to my auntie's place on my own in the car for the first time, and just out of nowhere a police car comes out, which is funny because like they're not really, I've never seen a police car in that area before, and I was like, am I doing something wrong? I'm just trying to learn. They don't give you L plates to put on your car when you are a P plater but you can't drive manual, and I think they should sort that out. After that, it was basically just practice. Unfortunately, I managed to break an engine mount at some point, so the engine was left swinging back and forth every time I touched the pedals. That was pretty shortly after I bought it. So trying to learn to drive and practice with that engine mount was like trying to learn how to walk with a broken knee. So after the ever elusive Peugeot spare part was found, the car got fixed. Then began, again, the several month long journey of learning to drive, again. Both in terms of mastering the mechanics of a manual and combating my own anxieties about driving, obviously. I never understood people who were like emotionally attached to their cars, like guys that set their profile picture as their car and whatever. I'm not at that point, but I didn't really realise how much my first car actually did mean to me until it all got crunched up. It meant freedom and safety, and it was the first big thing that I've spent my money on, and it was kind of the first space that was completely 100% mine. I'm picky, I like things to be a certain way, and at that point I shared a room with my sister. I obviously shared a house with my family, and my car was kind of the only space that I had to make mine. That car was one of two models that I liked the design of, the other one being like a beige Micra that the seller never replied about, but that blue was my favourite colour. I made sure that it always smelt like lavender and the sound system was crisp as anything, so I could listen to my favourite music loud and clear. I could drive around. It was a small silver lining to the shocker of a year that 2020 was. It took me months to stop resenting my new car, just for not being my old one. But we've made friends, me and Champ. That is the new car's name. And now I just sit in it for like half an hour after work from driving home. We're bonding. I don't hate him. Before Wollongong got put into lockdown, I finally got some great news. The insurance company found me to have been in the right. I won. For a P-plater who had to defend herself and be like, no, like I know I'm shitty at driving, but this time really wasn't my fault. That was really good for closure reasons. I am someone who notoriously hated driving. It took me years to learn, half because I didn't have the time and half because it scared me shitless and I didn't want to. It scared me for two reasons. One, you're more likely to die in a car accident than anything else, and I think that's reasonable. to be scared of, obviously. And two, it was the first thing that I had tried that I wasn't immediately good at. I hadn't faced my fear of failure yet. And luckily and unluckily, my fears faced me instead, through the driver's side of a little blue Peugeot 206. The whole experience gave me perspective though. After being alive for 19 long, troublesome years, now 20, this one event finally brought my mental health challenges to a head. And I was in a situation where, you know, I was away from home, I didn't have a lot of immediate support in the way that I was used to, and I had no choice but to kind of face my fears and learn to cope. I'm grateful for that as an opportunity because at the moment I feel the most in control as I have my whole life. And suddenly driving an auto around a flat city like Dubbo sounds like the easiest, calmest thing in the world. At this point, hill starts aren't a problem, car accidents aren't the end of the world, and of course, you can replace things, but you can't replace people. Thank you for listening. Tune in whenever I decide to make another one. Like, share, comment, whatever you do on whatever device you're on. I'll talk to you another time. Bye.